God, it's really
drawing a lot of attention.
How are you?
It's electric.
So, Cyphagus first brand new all-electric 4x4 Bucky.
Yes, it's the first 4x4 Bucky because there is a 4x2 Bucky that's been in the market for a while, and that's the Maxus T-something, I think, T50 or T60. That's a 4x2, but the vehicle that we have just had a test drive in, very nice.
Can you see the whites of my eyes? I'm very excited by it. Yes.
I can see the whites of my eyes after you're accelerating down the road here.
it doesn't hang about, does it?
No,
it,
beautiful.
It goes like
0 to 100 crazy. In?
Claimed 4.5 seconds. I think you probably just need to get the batteries at the right temperature to get the best out of it.
But if you can get that, that's equivalent to a Porsche Boxster?
No, it's quick. Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking about it. You know, in EV terms these days, anything above 5 seconds these days is considered slow.
Mm-hmm.
5 seconds. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, according to my watch, where, you know, anything below 5 seconds was like hypercar stuff. It's
insane.
It's just insane.
Absolutely insane.
Well, what was it, 315 kilowatts that thing's got? Two motors, you know.
Up to 87 kilowatt hour battery if you get the extended range version. Yeah. Beautiful. And we're talking, of course, about the Geely Radara.
I was about to say, what are we talking about? Because we haven't mentioned it yet.
And we've just been brought into the country by Enviro Automotive, which is the same guys who brought in the cheapest EV in South Africa currently, and that's the Daewoo S5 Mini. Same group, but this is a very different vehicle. This is a much higher end vehicle.
I'm pretty sure this is what you use to transport your Daewoos around in. You know, sort of put one of those on the back of this thing and drive it around because it's a double cab, but Bucky, you know, it's big.
It's good looking. It's a nice car.
And I must mention the weight. It was 2.275 tons.
That's heavy.
Yeah, but compare that to the Shark, which was almost 2.9 tons.
It's
almost 500 kilos lighter than the Shark.
Wow.
So you know where we're going with that, of course.
Yes. Drag race?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, we're going to touch on it later on in the show, how the Shark has just anointed itself as king of the drag race 0-100 in South Africa when it comes to Buckies. But I think it may be a fairly short-lived title.
Anyway,
it'll be interesting to see.
Absolutely. If you're new around here and wondering what the two of us are doing and waffling on about electric cars, welcome to What's in Wheels.
Good point.
We should introduce ourselves.
Thank you for the introduction.
This is season zero of What's in Wheels. So we're just throwing a few things out there and seeing what sticks here at Tech Central in the motoring space. Our focus is on EVs, but we do really talk about anything in the motoring industry. I'm Duncan McLeod. I'm the editor of Tech Central, and I'm joined by my co-collaborator in this project. Co-collaborator? No, just collaborator.
Co-conspirator.
That's William Kelly. Welcome, William. How have you been?
Very well, Duncan. Very well. Thank you for the morning this morning, spending it driving around in another EV. It's huge amounts of fun.
Lovely fun. And the acceleration on that thing really is stunning.
No, it is. Mm. It is impressive.
So let's talk about the Radara. In fact, let me get a picture of it up on the screen here so people can see what we're actually talking about. There it is in light sort of green. I'm not sure I'd get it in that color. It looks like a Bucky.
It is. What's immediately apparent about that particular picture is the wheels on the one we had just look better. Even though they're 18 inches, they probably need to be a little bit bigger just to fill the wheels. But the rims are absolutely stunning. You know, just shouts that it's an EV at you.
When I first saw this picture that we've got on the screen here now, I thought that looks like the new Pan Americana from VW. It's very similar, actually. In fact, I think I've got a picture of the Pan Americana here, if I can get it up on the screen. It's quite similar, isn't it?
Yep.
Quite a similar design. But two very different vehicles.
Very different.
This is a turbo diesel, I think. The V6, no, turbo petrol. Who knows?
Whatever. You
know? It runs on baby seals.
I've moved on, Duncan. I've moved on. You know, it's now electrical or be damned. And I mean, you can see why. Yes, the power is there, but the refinement is also there. You know, this is not a an afterthought Bucky. This has been built from the ground up. It's a unibody construction, as we touch in on our on the road tests, and it's comfortable. You know, it's and well appointed. Got all the toys. I missed the head up display. I won't lie. Quite like.
Do you find those useful?
I do like head up displays. Okay. I think purely from a safety point of view, it just keeps your eye on where your speed is.
Yeah.
And you don't have to look down at anything. You
know? Yes.
So a good head up display is well worth the investment.
Quick glance while you're playing Tetris on the bigger screen in front of you.
Yeah, hold my beer. And that's how the fight started. So yeah, no, I do like head-up displays, I must say. And mm-hmm. you know, BMW have been making them for a while, and I must say theirs are pretty good.
Yeah.
Volvo have been doing it, of course, you know, being a safety thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that really is probably the only little thing I picked up on the couple of hours we were in the vehicle for. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, if that's it.
I think let's cut away to the segment now, and let's take this car out for a test drive, and we'll chat to Francois from Enviro Automotive, who's bringing this particular model into the country, and let's see what it's like.
Well, today you find me at the wheel of what is a very interesting vehicle, an electric 4x4 Bucky, first of its kind in South Africa. Francois, am I right?
Yes, that's correct.
And it is I am horrible when it comes to pronunciation. Absolutely horrible. I've barely just learned how to perfect Porsche. I mean, Porsche. You see what I mean? I'm sitting in a Radara. Is that the correct way of pronouncing
it? That's correct, yeah.
And Radara is the luxury brand from Geely.
That's correct.
Which is a Chinese manufacturer of electric vehicles.
Yes.
And this is amazing. What is the 0-100 time?
4.5 seconds.
Dual motor,
315
kilowatts.
That's correct, yeah.
Range of
WLTP is 425. It all depends how you drive. We drive like we're driving currently.
We're using a lot of energy. Did you notice the smile on my face? I don't care about range. You were talking, but I wasn't listening. No, 400 and?
425 on the trip computer. If you drive nicely, you get under 20 kilowatt per 100 kilometers.
And this vehicle weighs 2.3 odd tons, yes. 2.275, something like that.
Yeah.
Impressive. And the regen braking, as we discussed earlier, is on maximum, which is great because it's really true one-pedal driving. It's one of the big things about EVs that I absolutely adore. Just having to lift my foot off. I don't have to move it over to the brake and apply the brake because it's just, you know, too much effort these days. Why one bothers? In terms of sales for this Radara, are South Africans, do you think, ready for an electric 4x4 Bucky?
It all depends on perspective, according to me. So, I mean, some of your double cab Buckies give you 6 kilometers per liter of diesel. So it all depends on what you want to pay for a little bit of extra power.
Yeah.
And what you want to use it for.
Let's just clarify. It's not just a little bit of extra power. It's a lot of extra power. 315 kilowatts. I think the only petrol-powered version that comes close to that is the Raptor 290-odd. What's the sort of load capacity you can chuck on the back of this thing?
1 ton.
And towing?
3 ton.
Okay. 3 tons braked.
Yes.
That's not too bad. This has got VTL, hasn't it?
It's correct, yeah.
Which is vehicle to load.
Yes.
Valued and important viewer. And vehicle to load basically allows you to connect up to, what, 6 kilowatts?
6 kilowatts on this vehicle.
So you can drive the entire house, literally, off this vehicle.
Yes.
I mean, 6 kilowatts is quite a lot.
That's correct.
So it makes itself a natural integration into off-grid applications where your solar charges your vehicle during the day or charges your batteries or charges both, and you can hop and switch between the energy sources as you need them.
Yes.
Makes all the sense in the world. So you can off-grid your house and off-grid your car. What's the service interval in this vehicle?
Every 10,000 kilometers is a safety check. Just checking all the systems.
What does that entail?
Basically,
wheels are still attached.
Yeah, and all electrical parts are still fine. There's not no any issues of any wiring.
Where would that be done? given that Enviro Automotive is relatively new and relatively small, if I
we've partnered with Wilgen Holdings now. We've launched within the DFSK brand officially in South Africa now.
Yeah.
And there's already 20 dealerships across the country.
Bear with me.
Oh!
20 dealerships across the country.
20 dealerships and growing by the month. So that that will be our preferred service partner.
So DFSK and Geely, or in this case Rodara, will be serviced at the same place?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, and then in areas where there's not, if for any other reason there's not a DFSK dealership close by, then we will make sure there is a service center that we will partner with.
Let's get to the thorn issues. What's the warranty on this thing in terms of the vehicle, and then of course on the battery?
And vehicle is 150,000 kilometers.
150,000 Ks.
Yeah, and the battery is 200,000 Ks.
200,000 Ks?
Yeah.
Is there a lifespan attached to 200,000 Ks?
It is 6 years.
6 years struck 200,000 Ks on the battery. All right. I think that's reasonable. And as I think Duncan and I touched on our last podcast, there is quite a lot of emerging evidence suggesting that battery lives are actually being underestimated by manufacturers by a significant margin. One of the things I love about this car is that the ADAS can be turned off. Well, largely off. I imagine there are some passive safety features that will kick in the event I do something really stupid, like try and drive over this Woolies dash. I am enjoying the absence of bongs, of alerts, of warnings, of everything. You can drive this car in quiet and in comfort. I have to say the seats here are remarkably comfortable. They really, really comfy.
It's
I like
very,
them.
Very nicely appointed cabin.
It is, in the vernacular sense. Do the rear seats fold? I mean, do they tilt?
Yeah.
They do tilt.
Put the ventilated seats on for you.
It's got ventilated seats.
Yeah.
Sold.
So yes, the front and back.
Okay, but it's all driven off a menu.
Yeah.
You see, people quite like looking at your car, you see?
Yeah, it's really drawing a lot of attention.
How are you?
How's it? What's it?
It's electric.
So what are your big takeaways from that test drive? Who do you think is going to be buying this car?
Well, you know, Francois was actually saying, you know, the resistance to EVs in South Africa seems to be dropping. And I put that down to the fact that you've got people who don't like EVs, and then you've got people who've actually driven EVs. Mm. So the people that don't like EVs, there are very few that have driven them that don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
So get people, bums on seats, into an EV, see what it's all about. Let's dispel the myths about the fact that the battery life is only going to be 3 years. It's not. This one, for example, comes with a 6-year warranty or 200,000 Ks. And as we said in our previous podcast, we're seeing anecdotal evidence all over the world that battery life has been vastly underestimated. Mm-hmm. There are cars where already the indications are that the battery life on the vehicle will exceed that of the car, 20 years.
Yeah, it's so remarkable, actually.
Put that into your
That has been the thing that has stopped a lot of South Africans from buying EVs.
Exactly.
But it's not a problem anymore.
It's not a problem anymore. Mm. So, you know, it's a case of you've got the peace of mind from that point of view. But as you're saying, I think it's more just getting used to the fact that you aren't actually going to run out of electricity, that you do just plug it into your normal 3-pin plug at home. Okay, you buy a charger that connects onto your wall, but it's effectively the same thing. And you don't need to have high-speed chargers on every corner to keep yourself mobile. You know, you can do it overnight. The fact that this thing is also VTL, which is vehicle to load.
That means you can run your house on it.
Well, it's got up to 6 kilowatts of output. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know.
That's enough for a small house, yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah. Of course it is. I mean, you know, 6 kilowatts is a huge amount of electricity, especially if you're pulling it all the time. If you're pulling 6 kilowatts all the time out of your household, your electricity bill at the end of the month is going to be horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but if there's a extended period of load shedding or power's just out,
exactly.
You need to heat up your geyser or something for a shower in the middle of winter, you can use your car to do it.
You plug in the car, you know. And I think that this VTL thing is going to become more integrated with our lifestyle. So if you're already off-grid or considering going off-grid, this is just a natural extension to that. Mm-hmm. It's an addition to, it's an enhancement to. And, you know, if you think about it, you've got a couple of panels on your roof or at your place of work and you plug your car in, your fuel cost,
zero.
Mm-hmm. Zero, zero, zero. Plus all the convenience of having portable power as and when you need it. So there's a lot going for it.
Yeah.
So in terms of who's going to buy it, I think, dare I say it, you know, it's going to be the Santon housewife, pavement jewelry, because why not, you know, the Santon house husband. And I think, you know,
So you think it's more of a leisure vehicle than a vehicle used by, say, plumbers and electricians and...
You know, there's a lot of me going around the Jeep Gladiator, for example. That's a toy.
That's a ridiculous
car. It's a toy. I love it because it's just so ridiculous. You know, you can take the window off, you can take the roof off, you can take the doors off. It has a removable USB speaker. It's built as a fun vehicle, recreational vehicle. And it will go absolutely everywhere, towing your Ford Raptor behind it. You know, it's that good off-road. I mean, they really are good. So it's a fun vehicle. I think this is not necessarily quite in that level of fun, but it's got a far higher degree of practicality to it, I think. So I think for your more upmarket contractors and things that want to use tools on site and just plug them straight into the vehicle, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
And that's actually a very underlooked area. Can run your power tools off these vehicles.
Yeah, and Francois was kind enough to show us. It's got six sockets.
Six.
It's got six sockets. I think by the time this is obviously on the direct import, it's not the South African 3-pin plug, it's European 3-pin plug. Yeah. But obviously they'll change to South African 3-pin plugs. Mm-hmm. But I mean that's crazy. Now just imagine you were thinking of going to Africa Burn, for example. Sat out in the middle of nowhere. Just take your whole Hi-Fi speaker sound system with you, and you can pump 2 kilowatts of sound from
just drain the battery
by yourself. Just don't drain the battery. You know, it's things like that which you know this vehicle makes possible. And I did take a quick look at the load, but and it's interesting in terms of the fact that it's actually been well plasticized on the inside. It's not just a spray on rubber; it's actual plastic interior on the inside, which is lacquer. Mm. So it's built for some punishment.
And what do you think of the looks?
It's great. I mean, the picture there doesn't show the light up
bar, Radara,
which says bar. Radara. Yeah. Yeah, I hope we're pronouncing that correctly.
I think we are.
Radara. Yeah. Anyway, which actually adds a degree of streets, what we call street cred to the vehicle. But you know, it's not offensive, it's not exceptional in any way. You're not gonna mistake it for a Cybertruck or something along those lines. But it's a good looking, handsome vehicle, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, yeah.
And interesting pricing. It's there's actually several models coming in. The two sort of headline features you're going to need to choose from is the 2x4 and the 4x4.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be an extended range version on both of those, as I understand it, as well, taking you from around 70-something to upper 80 kilowatt hour
something
range.
Something like that in your battery range, yeah. Yeah,
and that's on the extended range. That's a big battery for an EV, so this should have decent range. And we're looking at just under $1 million for the 2x4 and just over $1 million for the 4x4 version, which puts it in an interesting pricing category because that puts it up against probably the Ford Wildtrak and above and the top-end Hiluxes.
Just a little bit above the Shark.
And a bit above the Shark, or maybe on the 2x4. The Shark is a full 4x4, isn't it?
Full 4x4.
4x4. So that's just over $1 million. So it actually is going to come in probably a little bit above the BYD Shock 6, which is a plug-in hybrid. This is a pure EV.
This is pure EV, correct, yeah.
So presumably the BYD is actually more expensive to make because it's got a petrol engine in it as well.
Yeah, smaller battery.
So but it has smaller battery, of course. Yeah,
that's where the
cost comes in. Yeah, that's true.
And of course, you know, we were talking briefly as we chatted on the road about the running costs of the EV. You know, every 10,000 Ks you need to look at it and make sure nothing's blown up.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not exactly an onerous service, is it?
Yeah, no.
And then top up the fluids, you know, and it's kind of like you just flip up the thing, fill it up, done. You know, that's your maintenance.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Change the brake pads once every 5 years.
Yeah, it's because they've just, they've gotten old and tired, you know, and haven't actually been used. Because the one pedal driving on this vehicle is good.
Mm-hmm.
It really is good. You know, you do get some one pedal driving where it's a bit insipid and you kind of still need to brake, but this one was.
So it's really an exciting new entry into
this
market.
I like it. It's going to be interesting to see how it does. I mean, Enviro Auto said they've got how many dealerships now?
A I'm not sure, actually.
They've added up to 20 already, floating around the country.
They were talking about Swaziland, and I'm actually not sure how many. I'm not sure what the dealer support network looks at the moment, but it's, you know, it's quite new, so it's going to be small.
Yeah.
So BYD also has a small dealership network at the moment.
Just expanded.
All these OEMs are going to have to ramp up.
Yeah.
You've got to have dealerships in George and Nelspruit and
places like that.
So the Radara, where is it going to land on the smorgasbord of buttons?
Cool. I know it's cool. I mean, you know me.
Are we leaning towards super cool?
Super cool. I haven't driven it, as I say, other than today. But no.
You're going super cool? I'm kind of hovering over the green button. You're kind of hovering over the blue button.
Yeah, so you go green and I'll go blue and then we'll call it a tie.
We'll do both. Right.
Bang.
don't know how editor's going to do that in post, but no.
Sorry, editor.
Right.
But yeah, no, when it comes to EVs, especially when you're buying the twin, of course it's going to be super cool.
Yeah.
If it was a single motor, it would be cool.
The 4x4 twin.
4x4
twin. For sure.
Just for that smile factor.
For sure. So would you buy one of these over the BYD Shark 6?
I was hoping you were not going to ask me that particular question, Duncan. I thought we discussed it outside that we weren't going to broach that topic.
Maybe we should talk about that later once you've had a chance to actually test drive it properly.
Once we've done both, then
because we've literally been in this car for an hour and a bit, and
you do need to live with the car to understand it a bit, before one makes those sort of wild predictions of which one is better.
So we'll talk about something entirely more sexy now. Or maybe not. What is that?
Moving swiftly along.
That is not an EV.
You say that. Now, this is an interesting vehicle. Okay, despite its looks, this is actually an Ashok Leyland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Leyland from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s.
British.
Yes, British Leyland. Conjures up images for me, personally, of much spanner work and swearing at minis and cursing British Leyland quality for being shoddy and terrible.
Didn't Jeremy Clarkson and crew spend half of Top Gear blowing up the Leyland?
And more power to their tribe. Ashok Leyland, however, is a slightly different company.
Oh, yes.
It's, in fact, Indian company. And in essence...
Like Land Rover.
Like Land Rover now, but they've been around since the 1950s. So they have a bit more India development than Land Rover do. So they've been around for a long time. And this is their new offering for the South African market. This is the Dost.
It's Dost. The
entry-level workhorse. And what you see literally here is what you get. It's, funny enough, a 1.2-ton load capacity powered by a 1.5-liter 3-cylinder turbo diesel motor that runs on the smell of a diesel rack.
And they'll probably sell thousands of them.
7 liters per 100. Absolutely no frills. You get power steering. That's it. And it'll do 115 k's an hour down a mine shaft. But it doesn't matter because it's built to go year in, year out and trudge around with 1.2 tons on the back and just get on with it.
This is a huge market in South Africa.
It's been tested in the probably the most horrific environment possible to test these things in the Indian market and survived.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes here, it's got decent pedigree behind it in terms of its workability.
Well, who's it going up against? Suzuki has something like this, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, not yeah, no, Suzuki, yeah. You know, I think it's probably put a Suzuki in this thing, to be honest. It's bigger than it looks.
Mm-hmm.
But the pricing is the killer here. That's $169,000 as it stands. No way. Out of the box.
Wow.
Promise you. Including the tires and an engine. Everything you see there is
okay, I must correct myself. They're not going to sell thousands. They're going to sell millions of them.
Well, I've stopped calling sales figures on vehicles because I'm always so spectacularly wrong. But I think as a tool to build an economy with, that's it.
Mm.
You don't get better. There's another model in the range. It's called the Phoenix, which is 100,000 Rand more.
Okay.
It's 269,000 Rand now, which is still cheap, for which you get air conditioning in the cabin, and you get a 1.8-ton load capacity, slightly bigger thing. Same motor, slightly more power, slightly differently tuned. And then they make a 4.5-tonner truck, which is 369,000 Rand. You can spot their pricing strategy here. It's very clever. And away you go. You can get canopies for these things, so all manner of accessories for them are available. But here's the interesting thing. You said it wasn't an EV. Well, it isn't yet.
Oh, yes.
Because there is an EV version of it available.
Oh, yes.
And the local guys are talking about potentially bringing that in. It will be probably between 40 and 50% more expensive, but full EV. And if you are doing contracting and riding from site to site, you're not going to be doing more than 200 Ks a day. You're just not. Mm. So you're going to be doing that every day. So your annual mileage is going to be huge. But your running costs on that are going to be next to nothing. You know, so plug it in at home, plug it in at the factory, wherever it is, charge it overnight. And the interesting thing that Ashok Leyland seems to have cottoned onto is the fact that you may not want a 400K range battery. So you don't buy it. You buy a 200K range battery. And if you want a 400K range battery, plug it in. Mm-hmm. If you want 600K, plug three in. You know, it's up to you. So if they bring that model of adoption around, it's going to shake things up quite a bit on the local market.
Are those batteries going to be hot swappable?
No.
Because that's happening in China now. I've noticed this quite a bit, especially on commuter vehicle, transport vehicles. They arrive at a site, they take the battery out, they plug a new one in, and off it goes again.
I actually had a chat with John Ford about that. And, you know, it's interesting how commercial vehicles pan out. That makes sense on long haul. Mm-hmm. Short haul, they don't do enough mileage to justify it.
Oh, really?
It's easier just to charge at their depots. So setting up the infrastructure for charging there is a whole mathematical – well, that's what he does, math, lots of math, you know, and planning routes and contingency plans for when things, you know, don't go the way they should. You know, mm-hmm. This is logistics. You can't have mistakes. So that's what he does. But yeah, it's an interesting thing. Hot swap batteries. I mean, if you could get a standard where it was across the board, it may have more more adoption. But I don't think for our market it's necessarily going to be. Mm. You know, these things are not going to be doing the haul from Durban to Joburg.
No.
They're just not.
No, they're delivery vehicles.
They're delivery vehicles. Yeah. So last mile is, in fact, where they're aiming it at. And
so companies like Takealot and e-commerce
vendors
would buy stuff
spot
like
on.
This. Like deliver a fridge or something.
Spot on. Mm. Exactly that. Probably even your groceries. I mean, they'll be that cheap enough to run around.
Yeah.
You know? So I was just thinking, you know, wouldn't it be so nice if instead of the 60-60 scooters, we had 60-60 Ashok Leylands running around doing their thing, because at least you'd see them.
Yes.
and I think the accident rate would drop. And at 169,000 Rand, we're not talking, okay, well, I mean, I suppose compared to a scooter, but we're not talking astronomical amounts of money to vastly improve safety. Mm-hmm. And the delivery capacity of these of 60-60. You know, for the guys who don't want their stuff within an hour and prepared to wait a few hours for it, you can do 45-50 deliveries. I mean, you've got 1.2 tons of packaging you could put on this thing.
It's certainly not a good-looking vehicle at all, but it doesn't have to be, I suppose.
I think, yeah, it's what's the kindest way to put it? It's fit for purpose.
Yeah.
It's not going to win any beauty,
design awards,
beauty
no.
contests.
No.
But, it'll still be there in 10 years' time and probably look exactly the same.
So, hot or not?
How do we
measure this? It's ugly as sin, but it's actually very practical.
It is very practical. And I think for the pricing, no, I think it's going to have to be a hot. You know,
a hot?
Yeah, a okay. hot. And when the EV comes, of course, then it'll be super hot.
Okay. So,
it'll be the first actually commercial EV to market in South Africa, which will be quite interesting.
Right.
So we'll watch ourselves with interest.
What city is that?
Yeah. It's not Durban.
It's not Durban.
It's overseas.
No, it's in the Eastern Cape.
East London.
No, it's Port Elizabeth. Way back. I think it's a part that you don't normally see. I think the main town is around the corner. But that is PE, and the reason I've put it on the screen is because
I've not been to PE in a long time. It would appear. When was this photo taken? 1952.
No idea. Okay. No idea. But given the racial makeup on the beach, I'm guessing it's post 94.
Okay.
but yeah, that is indeed Port Elizabeth. And the reason I've put Gqeberha on the screen is that there is going to be a big auto conference happening there later this year, the biggest auto conference in the country, I think.
Oh, in fact, if not on the continent.
If not on the continent.
South African Auto Week.
South African Auto Week, which is arranged by NAMSA, the Automotive Business Council. I'm not quite sure how to say their name these days.
It's a must-go-to, and I've been critical of NAMSA recently in terms of the fact that I don't think they're making enough noise to government about where things are going wrong and our pace of deindustrialization.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly at NAMSA, this is where one gets a real sense of the finger of the pulse of the economy in this country, because, you know, the automotive sector is a vital cog in our machine. It's 5% of our GDP. It's 25-26% of our total exports. It's
huge,
substantial. So what affects automotive affects us all. And I'm very keen to get views on what the impact of the closure of Goodyear has been, what the closure of AMSA is going to be, ArcelorMittal, where we see ourselves with policy, because, you know, I've been going to these things for a while, and policy has been the drum that's been beaten at every SA Auto Week, and we need to get the stuff in line now. And of course,
we had President Cyril Ramaphosa at last year's event in Cape Town and made all sorts of noises about EV subsidies for consumers and for the industry, et cetera, et cetera. There seems to be some movement on the subsidies for building factories, but in terms of consumer subsidies, it's
been very, very, what's the word, deafening in its silence.
I think it got to National Treasury. National Treasury had one look at the president's proposal and said, "We can't afford this. Are you mad?"
With the thousands of EVs we're selling every year. No, we need to build an EV demand locally. We need to build an EV market so that when the manufacturers do have manufacturing capacity, that they can actually sell into the local market. Because it's an interesting misperception that all of our cars that we build are exported.
They're not.
More than half are sold into our local market. So it's critical that we have demand for vehicles that are built in factories in our own country. You know, it's an imperative, in fact. So it's going to be a very interesting Cyber Auto Week. Certainly the most important one to date, I think, because
there's so much to talk about.
There's so much pressure, and there's just, you know, I'm just curious to see how the CEOs address the crowd and what their temperament is. I'm a big fan of reading into body language and seeing what they're actually trying to say.
Yes. And the CEO of Volkswagen South Africa, I've forgotten her name.
Martina.
She was very negative at last year's Auto Week.
Well, and
about the state of the industry and where it was going.
And at SAMI, which is State of the Motor Industry, which is hosted by Toyota this year, I've never seen Andrew Kirby more animated.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, he's... So it'll be interesting to get their views this at Auto Week. And, of course, Ford, we're going to have to catch up with old Mr. Neil Hill and see what he has to say, because, you know, these guys are...
He's got rather a big factory near Pretoria.
Yeah, and rather upset that he doesn't have rail. So, you know, these guys have important contributions to make to our economy.
Big challenges, yeah. But Tech Central hopes to be down there. Either William or myself, or maybe both of us will be down there.
We'll go down there.
We'll see you there. It's happening, when is it? October.
I think.
I actually drove down, you'll know, with the EV guys. A whole bunch of us drove 5 EVs down to the last Auto Week in Cape Town. And I think they've got something similar plans this year. I don't know if they're going to invite me along for a second time, hopefully. Maybe they'll invite you, William.
I was about to say, I've been very nice to Hideko.
I think it's your turn anyway.
Thank you very much.
But it was good fun last year. PE is obviously a lot closer than Cape Town. But maybe they could plan an interesting route that kind of takes in maybe Windhoek and Upington on the way down.
I would give my back teeth.
It's good fun.
Absolutely.
So, guys, if you're listening, William's your man for this year's show.
Put this road tripping thing that you can't do it in EVs to bed, to rest.
For sure.
Because you can.
For sure.
And in fact, the Eastern Cape has got quite an extensive network now of high-speed chargers, which is interesting.
I wanted to get this video up on the screen because it's our next topic, and this is a video from Auto Trader. They did a drag race, which I think we've all been waiting for, coming back to the Buckies, between the BYD Shark 6, which I really, really want. I really want one of those cars, and the Ford Raptor, which I also really want, the new one, the three-liter turbo.
Well, Sam and Chad have landed with their bums in the butter on this particular one. Yeah. I mean, just from that opening video, it was, as we were talking earlier, it's 100% contrary to what we were expecting.
It is. But BYD, contrary. I really thought the BYD was going to win it. It will be the fastest off the line.
Well, that's exactly it. I thought, you know, every EV I've driven, the instant sprint, like a scalded cat off the line, off they go.
Like we did with the Radara today.
Exactly. Yet that BYD seems to bog down and slow off the line, whereas the Raptor's gone. And then the BYD just...
Could that just be some setting you need to change?
I don't know. I think maybe.
I'm sure these guys know what they're doing.
Must be. But, you know, it was just interesting to watch. And then, you know, 3 seconds later, it was all over.
Yeah. And the winner was?
That was the Shark.
The Shark.
Astonishing. 3 for 3. Sorry, Raptor.
Yeah. And that's got a 1.5 litre turbo petrol engine.
Yeah.
Paired with twin motors.
Twin motors.
And obviously the twin motors together with the engine give it the power it needs.
But
to beat the Raptor, that's an incredible accomplishment given the engine that's in that thing.
Yeah, exactly that. So, yeah, the age of electric is here. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah,
that's it. It's going to be hard to beat.
So it won only just. I think we'll clip in the final segment. I'm sure Auto Trader won't mind us borrowing a tiny bit of their video.
Credit where credit is due. They got them.
They got them and they did the test. And that BYD is. They seem to like it. I still haven't had a chance to drive one. I haven't yet either. Didn't you drive one around?
I drive one around the parking lot for
parking lot.
Yeah, okay. No, it wasn't the most exciting drive I've ever.
You do know when you get the vehicle, you're coming straight here.
Yeah, of course, of course. I know.
I think you're leaving it here for a week.
I don't think they're giving it to me for a week. I think demand for these things is just
the demand is insane. Yeah,
off the clock. And a good looking vehicle, I have to say. So we'll see.
Two very nice cars, if we're honest about it.
No, look, I mean, when it comes to buckies, we are spoiled for choice in this country. We really are. I think the Aussies can just, take a back seat. We've got better than them.
This BYD, though, is, I think, around 200,000 Rand less than the Raptor.
Yeah, there's a price premium to be paid for the Ford, it must be said. But, it is a Raptor. It does have that suspension.
And it's got good
retail. We've touched on it before, and, it has a big deal in network. It's the Ford,
But it's going to cost you a lot of money to run it.
The petrol bill will be substantial.
Huge.
Well, especially the way I tend to drive.
So exciting stuff.
Exciting stuff.
What else do we need to talk about today? We've got on our list the – we're getting on to the fancy stuff now.
Yeah, we need to talk about the Chinese vehicles because, again, it's one of these things that across my feed, I've been ignoring it deliberately for a month or so just to see because, every week there's a new Chinese vehicle, but this one did catch my eye.
Yeah. I'm pressing all the wrong buttons here. Let me open this up in my web
browser. Huawei. I mean, it's like,
Huawei.
It's like, show me your
Chinese. Huawei? The guys make phones?
Look at it. Just look at it. I mean, it's hideous. It's just the most appalling thing I've ever seen.
Looks like a Maybach.
They sold 1,000 of those in the first hour it was opened.
No ways. In China?
1,000 in China. And that
How much
is,
does it cost?
It's a lot. It's
cheaper than a Maybach.
In Chinese terms, I think it's about half the price of a Maybach.
Yeah, but it's still expensive.
Similar sort of spec. So it's an ultra luxury limousine.
Yeah, it's a limo. It's a boat.
Yeah, it's a boat. Yeah. It's a boat.
And so it's going up. We're going up against the 7 Series, or was it above that?
Yeah, no, above that. It's Maybach
territory.
Yeah, Maybach territory. So it's really up there with the ultra elites.
Yeah.
And. It's one of those vehicles that when you start to look at it and start to go through everything that's on it, you kind of get a bit of fatigue. It's a bit of fog.
It's got everything.
It's borderline redundanculous.
Wonder how much it weighs.
A lot. And it's got something like an 850K range. The whole trip is
battery must be massive
on it. It's just. I mean, look at it.
It's not branded Huawei, though. It's a branded something else. It's called the – I've got it here. I've got to go back into
my – The Maestro. The
Maestro.
That's it, exactly.
A Huawei
Maestro. But the Maestro, yeah. So there you go.
We've got another picture of it here, actually, and it looks better in black. If I can find the right image. I think it's this one. There we go.
It does look better in black.
It does.
I'm not sure about the bump in the middle of the.
I can see the President of the United States in one of these, or the President of China.
I was going to say President of China. Yeah. Yes, you are.
Actually, the Trump wouldn't be seen dead in one of these.
No, Trump.
But
Trump.
Xi Jinping would quite happily sit in the back seat of one of these. Yeah,
I'd quite happily sit on the back seat of one of those. I must be honest. There are very few back seats I'd like. I'd be
probably have a nice kip back there.
Yeah, can just imagine taking this off to Cape Town on a road trip. And interesting enough, the tyres there I see on Michelin. More.
Okay. but it's interesting. It's interesting. It's certainly – there's a target market for it. Ultra wealthy businessmen, politicians.
100%. 100%.
No word on whether it's coming here, of course.
I was about to say, I have an open bet as to when it'll hit South African shores, if anyone's going to be brave enough to bring one in. It certainly will be a head turner.
I wonder if you'll get a free Huawei smartphone.
Just don't get it anywhere near our politicians because they'll be all over it like a rash. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? Yeah.
And then the other thing.
Opening a parliament. Just imagine all these coming down Long Street.
Blue lights on them. Can you just. You probably don't need blue lights. You just run over whatever's in front of you. I mean, look at it. It looks like a tank. Probably is a tank.
It is a tank. It's a tank. You can probably fit gun turrets to the side. sell them to some dodgy African dictatorship.
Off you go. Job done. You target market.
See a few of these rolling around Central America.
And then, of course, in the second worst kept secret of the week is the Xiaomi SU7 Ultra.
Yeah, another phone manufacturer getting into this game. Have I got a picture of this one? I don't think I do. I have a video.
Yeah, we have a video of it. Yeah.
Let's get that up on the screen.
So this
is around the Nürburgring in Germany.
I am with James May on this, that the Nürburgring is overdone, but mm-hmm. it is a standard, I suppose.
Mm.
But this thing just clocked the lap record. So
it beat everything.
It beat Rimac. It beat Rimac.
This is from a company that makes electronic robot vacuum cleaners and smartphones and air freshening devices.
And they put this on the books, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And here it is. It's just off the clock insane. And, they call it the XU7 Ultra. Retails for, $82,000, somewhere around about there.
So about 2 million rand.
Well, yeah. I mean,
once all the taxes and everything are included. Yeah.
What was the price on a Rimac last I looked?
I've never looked it up.
Or the big Porsche 6-bar, you know? You start to look at these things.
Drop every Porsche on the market.
And you look at this and you're thinking, as I said, electric's here to stay. You can't ignore this kind of performance. It's just off the clock.
Let's see how Foster gets in a straight. Here we go. So he's heading, I think there's a corner coming up. 200, just like that. I mean, 220, 230, 250, 270, 280, 290, 3. Didn't quite get to 300.
Had to break a bit there. But yeah. I mean, you know, just look at the speed at which it does it. These are like Formula One type numbers.
Yeah.
You know, when you're watching the speeders in Formula One, they're just phenomenal.
Yeah. And this is sold to ordinary consumers.
Yeah, well, you can buy one. You can have one. And it's a weapon. You know, I'd love to see how hot the brakes get on this thing. But if you can do the Nürburgring, you can't do it without good brakes. You just can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just too long a track for it.
He's throwing into these corners at 180.
One day, Duncan, we've got to go there and do this. Preferably in a small 1950s Mini.
I'm just watching this, waiting for an opening to drop the accelerator. Hopefully it's coming up. We'll include a clip in the show on the straight to see how fast this vehicle can actually get.
Unfortunately, we're
pretty exciting stuff.
We're in all the twisties at the moment.
Should have sound here too, yeah. Makes quite a lot of noise for an electric car. Some road noise.
At that speed, yeah, it's road noise you're picking up.
It's twisty, the Nürburgring.
Very. Corner after corner after corner.
So I think this one has to be.
Oh, no, absolutely, absolutely. Bang, bang, bang. Bring it. Please,
we need another button.
Please let someone import these things. Would someone please import these things? No, so interesting enough, you know, we're talking about importing them because I think the pricing is that keen that they could import them. Mm. I mean, BYD have entered now a bit of a price war in China. They've dropped some of their model pricing by up to 37%. Mm. 37% off list.
The Chinese government is very unhappy about that because it's actually forcing a lot of the smaller players out of the market now.
For the consumer, hey.
Wonderful. Unfortunately, we're not seeing those prices here.
If they drop 37% off the shark, you know, hello, it would be
Ford and Toyota would be in serious trouble.
It could be game over. Yeah. It could be game over. But yeah, so it's one of those things. And I mean, the new Xiaomi, which is the YU7.
Here we go.
Coming in at.
Yeah, I didn't quite get to 300.
That's a short straight. Wait till it gets to the big one in about a minute or two. They're bringing out the YU7 at $42,000, which is half the price of the equivalent Porsche.
The YU7, how does that differ to the Ultra?
It's basically a slightly smaller four-door version of,
with some of the luxury bits taken out.
It's not quite an SUV. It's almost like a saloon type thing from what I've seen. I stand to be corrected on that. But, you know, the pricing is just under a million rand. You know, in dollar terms. That's a lot of car for that. You know, everyone looks at it and says, I've seen this car somewhere before. It looks a bit like a Panamera. You know, kind of like, well, you know, it looks like a lot of things, yeah. Actually. But, you know, the certainly the price war is on in China. Yeah. Whether that comes to us or not remains mm-hmm. to be seen. I hope it does, because it's good for everybody.
Absolutely. Now, I hope I remember to get a picture of this next one, because it is quite something. Must be this one without a name. No, it's not that one.
I think it's a video.
Is it a video? Oh, yes, you're right. Here we go. Now, this is... What is this? What is this?
Again, you have to ask
what
yourself.
What the hell is
you
this?
You know, you kind of like, you have to really wonder, because, again, you look at this thing and you're thinking, my God.
This is coming out of China.
You know, they do make, I suppose... Along with all the good does come some of the wacky. Mm. And this is
like one wacky. Of the wackiest things I've ever seen.
This is just wacky.
A drone just took off from the top of the car.
Exactly. You look at it and you say, well, it's a flying car. And part of me is thinking, well, why? You know, it's not a flying car. It's a drone attached to a car. So, you know, you can see how it detaches and then the car part goes and parks itself off and gets charged. And
it goes and finds somewhere safe to be out of the way.
Presumably it acts as a portable charging station for your flying drone type component on it.
If you're sitting on the N1 and in rush hour traffic as an accident ahead, you can just like park outside or just leave your car there.
Yeah,
it'll find a way home.
You fly off to the office and away you go. And that I'm struggling with it, to be honest. And also, when you look at the arms, how far they stick out, you couldn't drive it on a normal highway. You'd have to have those arms retracting,
yes.
You know, so that otherwise you're going to be chopping other oncoming traffic into small, tiny little pieces. But yeah, it's certainly as a concept, is one of those that let me quote something here. Ambitious, but rubbish. You know, I can't see it. And quite possibly that means it'll take off and be the biggest success the world has ever seen. But I think
the chances right of this now, actually getting to market are probably quite low.
Yeah, it's neither a car nor a drone. Yeah. And it's trying to be two things at once. A flying car, yes, maybe. Mm. But it just, you know, you would fly the car part around with you.
Mm.
It doesn't make sense just to fly the drone, because in where you land the drone, you don't have the car.
You're going to sit quite a long way up off the road as well, because that's quite high. And how do you get into it if the car is parked in the – does it come with a little ladder that you climb up to get in?
Maybe that's why it looks low. Yeah, but anyway, so that's –
I can see billionaires in Silicon Valley buying this.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe. Mark Zuckerberg flying one of these off to his – And
the interior, I mean, you know, you've got to love the Chinese descriptions for the interior. It's good for your soul, they say. So,
oh, they love stuff like that in China.
So there you go. Wow. And it's highly fault tolerant, which is good to note, because, I mean, in a drone, I suppose you only really need one fault.
I presume the drone is autonomous. You don't actually have to control it.
I would imagine there's a high degree of autonomy in it, yes. Yeah. But I imagine you would also be able to
control it if you needed
from
to.
Time to time, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
If you saw it was heading towards a building or something something had gone wrong with the LiDAR.
Or what to do. Try to loop the loop in the thing and see how it goes. Fun and games.
But exciting stuff. Exciting stuff indeed.
Brings us to the end.
It does. Is that all we had this week?
What do you mean, is that all we had?
That was actually quite a lot, wasn't it?
It was quite a lot there, yeah.
Yeah, we've got some exciting stuff coming up for episode 3, but we'll leave
it. No, we want to touch on autonomous driving, don't we?
Absolutely.
And the impacts of that, yeah.
Absolutely.
Hopefully by the time we record that, Tesla will have done something.
So this is still season 0 of What's in Wheels. Let us know what you think. We're just throwing some stuff up against the wall and seeing what sticks, what works. But you tell us as well what you'd like to see on the show. wheels@techcentral.co.za is the email address to use, as I'm getting a phone call. We would love to hear from you. So drop us a line. What do you think of the show? What can we do better? What are we doing that's absolutely rubbish?
What more do you want to see? Do you want to see car reviews? Do you want to see more cars? Do you want to see
more William?
Do you want to see more Duncan? And generally, we just want to cover news in the industry.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. With a focus on EVs, although we're not going to be prescriptive about that.
If the watts are sufficiently interesting, we'll cover it no matter where they come from.
Absolutely. William, until
Duncan,
our next show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Been wonderful.